Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
It's great to have you in church today. Very excited about this morning. Before I get into my message this morning, just a quick update. Things at our new building site going well. Can I just say a massive thank you to you, to us as a church community. It's great to have Kate Forbes. I shouldn't say Forbes anymore, are you? Because it's not Kate, but Forbes that is. Still Kate, but not Kate Forbes. Anyway, you were here a couple of weeks ago, but just want to say welcome back, Kate, and it's great to have you home. So, and so it's unusual for a church community to commit to a certain amount in a giving, which we did recently, and to this date, we had just over $201,000 pledged, and we've had just over $198,000 come in. So as a church family, can I say a massive thank you for following through on that commitment and letting your yes be yes and your no be no, but thank you for your yes being yes. We appreciate that. And some great things happening. Just some prayer points on the building site. We're still waiting on council, which if you have anything to do with council, they do what they do, but they can take time in doing what they do. And so we really need your prayers around the town planning permit and also building permit stuff to get finalised so we can just get cracking with the actual build stuff. So the demolition clean out, everything is ready to go for the build part, and so we're excited about that. So please be praying about that. Also in terms of, because we're changing the zone, we're going from an office space to a place of public gathering or public worship. One of the code regulations is a fire separation wall between our tenancy and adjacent tenancies. And so that needs to be constructed from floor to the 4.5 metre ceiling. And so around the perimeter of our tenancy to separate. And so we really need favour with the owners around that, because obviously that is not cheap or free. So, you know, that is a cost that we'd prefer not to have to carry. And so if you could be just praying around that, we'll be having meetings with the owners this week. Just around to come to something that's fair and reasonable. And when we say fair and reasonable, we mean they pay. I think that's fair and I think it's reasonable. In all seriousness, we do need your prayers with that. They've been incredibly generous to us already. We should not even be in the space. But please pray. And if you have any questions about the build process, where we're at and that kind of thing, feel free to chat to any of our board members. And if you don't know who they are, you can come and have a chat to me and I can certainly point you in the right direction. There you go, just a quick update on the building. We'll have more photos for you over the coming weeks. So getting into my message this morning, for those of you that have been coming regularly lately, you would know we've been trying to start a series on Haggai, and we haven't really even started. We've alluded to Haggai, we've mentioned Haggai, but not even read a verse out of it yet. But that's okay. And this morning, I'm going to not even go there because I just really... it's the Clayton series, the series when you're not having a series. But I just really feel challenged this week and over the last few weeks and that we shouldn't get caught up and captivated by buildings, bricks and mortar, and they're just a tool, a means to an end of what God really wants to do, which is transform lives. You know, we as a church exist to see lives transformed by the love, grace and power of the creator of this universe. And one of the things, you know, some great conversations with people over the last few months around this whole process of hearing from God and what was it that, and how did I hear from God and what was it that sort of prompted me at the start of the year and why did you even, think about saying that publicly? Why didn't you just keep that to yourself until kind of like you had something a little bit more sure? That's not faith. Faith is not walking by sight. It's actually being responsive, sensitive to and obedient to the voice of God, even when it doesn't make sense. And there is a power that God has for our lives that He desires us to live in on a daily basis. So I know that there are people in this room, this isn't targeted at anyone, but there are people in this room, you are struggling with things that you already have victory over, but you don't have understanding of the power that is resident within you to be an overcomer. And there's some of us are not seeing breakthrough in our work situation, our finances, our health, our relationships, in wanting to reach people for Jesus Christ, because we have kind of shrunk back from, or we've lost sight of, or we need a fresh reminder of the power, the authority that God has placed in our lives. Some of us are living powerless lives when God has desired and destines us to live powerful lives, full of power. And so, you know, like you're going to touch on this morning, I believe in God's inherent word. I believe in his word, which is his inspired word to us. I believe it's living, it's active. It's God revealing himself to us in a way in which we can learn about him and understand him. There is his word, which we hold highly in the life of our church. It's sacred, it's precious, it's holy, it's something we should cherish, something we should hunger after and we should delve into and we should want more and more of. I'm all for that. But sometimes that's at the expense of hungering and thirsting after his spirit, which there needs to be the combination, needs to be word and spirit. There needs to be a balance in that, and I want to touch on that this morning. But this morning, if you're sitting here expecting kind of like a structured message, introduction, 3 points, conclusion, it ain't going to happen. And there's a reason for that. And I'll come to that in a minute. So for all you really structured people, I've already lost you. But hang in there. All right? All you analytical people that just want things in bullet point, there will be points. You just need to work out what they are. All right? Draw out of it what you want. But if you've got your Bible, turn to the book of Joel. There are 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. Joel is classified as a minor prophet. We're talking, this guy prophesied this over 800 years before Christ arrived. And we see these powerful words that related to the life of Christ and then relates to the day of Pentecost specifically and therefore relates to us today. So what is written well over 2,800 years ago, doesn't that mess with your head? Words that were inspired by the very spirit and presence of God that we're talking about today moved upon the prophet Joel, and he put ink to paper, chisel to stone, whatever it was, and he writes these words down that are carried and given to us and throughout the generations and the centuries, and we have it today, and it's as relevant to us today as it was, because we've got to remember, every prophecy that's given had relevance to the people of the day. So they were going through hard times, difficult times, and this was a promise, a blessing that God spoke through the prophet Joel for the people of that day to hold on to, with a hope and assurance that God had not forgotten them, and God hasn't forgotten us, and he's not done with us yet. And so we read here in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Turn the person next to you and say, that's you. Guess what? When I say all, that's all of us. No exclusions, no exceptions. I love that. It's got nothing to do with how good or bad you are. This relates to you. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're not even a Christian yet. This message today relates to you because this is for all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. I'm not sure which category I fit into these days, but the thing is, how good was our youth service 2 weeks ago? Come on, if you don't get challenged by the young people and these leaders... And at the end of this service, I want to give them, they don't know this, but I want to give them the opportunity of actually praying for you. If you've got the courage, I was about to say something, if you've got the courage to come and respond today and allow, because it says here, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. We've got sons and daughters in the house and God is calling them to prophesy. Speak that which is not as if it were. And if you think it's just for the young people, it's not. It's for all of us. It says here, and your old men will dream dreams. And by the way, Paul has gone to Malawi on Friday, and so we need to be praying for him. No reason why I remembered him. But your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women. Both men and women. It's for all. I won't even get on my soapbox about women in ministry and how passionate I am about seeing women in ministry, but that's another subject altogether. If you are comfortable with women's roles in Scripture, the roles that they fulfilled from the Old Testament right through to the New, then surely we should still be comfortable with them having and fulfilling those roles in the church today. Anyway, we'll get back on track. All right, here we go. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. So Joel is prophesying this some 800 years ago. Before, let me pray. Father, this morning, I know you put a word in my spirit and it's not going to be super structured, and I'm relying on you, Holy Spirit, right now, that there would be a river flowing through this house this morning. That right now, Father, I pray preconceived ideas, things that have been learnt, would all be subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Holy Spirit in this place today. Let every imagination, let every thought be held captive by the power of the very Spirit of God in this place, that you would be free to move in this house this morning, because you desire us to live powerful lives. And so this morning is not going to be an ordinary day. And we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So Joel speaks of a day that is to come. And I believe since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that we live in this time. We live in this day. And this is available and it is there for all of us. And when we talk about how God in the Old Testament, he instituted a law, a covenant law, that people had to do certain things to attain right relationship with him, and kept coming back to, because they kept falling short of that standard, coming back to a particular set of practices and sacrifices to maintain right relationship. And God had that, but no one could attain, no one could keep that standard. So God decided, through the grace gift of his son Jesus Christ, gave his son Jesus to the planet to institute and introduce a new covenant, a covenant of grace. And through Jesus' death, burial, and then being raised from the dead, conquering and confirming his authority over the sin that he paid for on the cross, but also confirming his authority over death, he raised into new life, and then he went to be seated at the right hand of the Father. So he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And God doesn't want to, and he will never leave us alone. And so what he decided to do is go, look, I've got the Father and the Son sitting at my right hand, and I've got my beautiful people, the pinnacle of my creation on earth. I still want to be with them and even in them. So I'm sending my Spirit upon the earth and into the earth for those who are willing to receive of my Spirit. When we talk about the Spirit of God, what does that conjure up in your imagination? When we talk about, if we have an understanding of who God is, that should shape and influence our understanding of who his Spirit will then be. So if we have a small understanding of who God is, then his Spirit will be small in our thinking and our understanding. But I pray that we have a big enough understanding of the greatness, the hugeness, the magnitude, the wonder, the awe, the beauty, the creativity, the genius, the power, the authority, the omnipresence, being able to be everywhere, the all-knowing, incredibly smart God. If this is our big God, then his Spirit is that too. And so understanding who God is will determine our understanding of who the Spirit is. So God poured out his Spirit without measure. He doesn't run out. He doesn't run out. There's an eternal supply. So when you feel empty, he's your supply. When you feel drained, he's your supply. You can go to him at any time and you can call upon and you can receive of him, because the Holy Spirit's been poured out. In some ways, I have an issue with, I'll send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already here. Our prayer should be, Father, I receive of what you've already poured out. And that's a faith prayer. He's already poured it out. He didn't pour it out and then withdraw it from us. He poured it out and wants to keep pouring out his Spirit into our lives, even on a daily basis. So God inaugurates this new covenant with humanity through the grace gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And it's completed and fulfilled in totality in Jesus. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the door by which we enter into salvation and right relationship with God the Father. But maintaining and staying in that right relationship, guess what? You know what? It's not hard. Walking in righteousness is not hard. Does anyone agree? It's not hard. It's impossible. Yeah. Don't look at me like that. If I had a video camera on you this week and followed you around, yeah, I'd probably soon find out that it wasn't that easy, was it? Stuff happens. People are in our lives. World would be a great place if it wasn't for people. How perfect would it be? It's Pastor Michael. It's not hard. It's impossible. And God knows that. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. God understands that we're going to struggle. So he goes, you know what? Hey, Jesus, let's just watch these guys fumble and fall around in the dark and stumble and trip over and bang into each other and hit each other and just all sorts of stuff, and let's have a laugh. No, he didn't do that. He said, I'm going to give of myself my spirit. And if they're willing to receive of that, that spirit comes with that, is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. If that person is with them, we're going to hear about who the Holy Spirit is in a minute. But that person of the Holy Spirit is there to help us stay in right relationship with God. I don't know how I could be who I am today if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and my growing understanding of who the Spirit is. I'm excited about the Holy Spirit this morning because, and if you're not, I've got enough excitement for you. See, people go, well, Phil, why are you the way you are? Or, like, how do you do this? And I'm not trying to pump up my own tires and say, aren't I an ace bloke? But I thought about it this week. I've got to give all credit to God's Spirit and power in my life. The things that I've seen, the places that I end up, and I just go, I have no idea. I sit in difficult situations. I haven't got a clue what to say. And I literally pray on the way there or as I'm sitting there talking to people. You can do this when you're sitting in a business meeting. You can sit there when you're dealing with conflict. You can sit there and say, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. It's there for us. That's a practical application and manifestation of the Spirit of our God in our lives on a daily basis. What is it that you are struggling with right now? You can speak to your problem. You can command that mountain to be cast into the sea, not because you've got some kind of Anthony Robbins motivational kind of power thing going on the inside. You've got the presence of God. So therefore, I don't speak of my own authority. I speak in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can speak to that situation. I can speak to sickness and command it to go in Jesus' name. Yeah. You see, the Holy Spirit's not just some blob or cloud that sort of vaguely kind of floats in, or Casper the ghost that comes in, the friendly ghost that comes in and decides to hang out and sit next to you and then moves over to there and kind of thing. You know, as I said, the Holy Spirit is a person who God, through the love of his heart, not wanting to leave us as orphans alone, but sent his Spirit here to earth for us to receive and to get to know. He's got all the attributes and characteristics of God and a person. As I said, his omnipresence, he's able to be everywhere all at once, but yet he's interested and involved intimately in our lives as much as we allow him to. He knows everything. He even knows what you're thinking right now. And he still loves you. And so do I. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. He's all powerful, church. Do you understand? Whatever you're facing, God's Spirit in you is greater. Greater is he that's in you, that's he that is in the world. He wants to inhabit us. He wants to come and dwell within us. Our bodies have been created to house the presence of God. And that's when we function at our optimum, is when we have the revelation and be willing to receive of his Spirit and be filled with his Spirit. And our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not an entertainment complex where we want him just to come and entertain us, but it's a place where his Spirit can come and dwell and live within us. And he wants to empower us, and he wants to enlarge, he wants to magnify, he wants to heighten the gifts and the talents that God has woven within your DNA helix pattern cycle. And all those things that God has imprinted upon your DNA of who you are, those gifts and those talents, your personality, he wants to take that and he wants to make that the best possible version of who you are. If we allow his Spirit to come and reign and rule and to fill our lives. From the very, very beginning, the Holy Spirit's been there. We see, I mean, God operates outside of time. So he was before time was established. He was and is to come. God is eternal. So he has no beginning. He has no end. The Holy Spirit is there, was there with the Father, with the Son. In terms of creation, you take a look at Genesis chapter 1 and we take a look at God looking at the formlessness and void. It says that the Spirit was hovering over that, waiting for the activation of the Father's word into the situation. And we're going to start to see there's a connection between the word and the Spirit. We see right from the very beginning that God is hovering over and he sees this formlessness and void. Just like if we think that there is just chaos and darkness and mess in our lives, the good news is the Spirit of God is hovering over your life. It's hovering over your life, and God's already given us his word. And the word to you today is simply, today is the day of salvation. Let the Spirit of God into your situation and let him start to make something beautiful out of your mess as only he can do. Doesn't matter how messed up, doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made, doesn't matter whether you've tried so hard. Maybe that's part of the problem. You've been trying so hard and striving so hard, and God's saying, hey, receive of my power, receive of my spirit. You will find that this Christian journey, this whole life thing can be a heck of a lot easier than what you've been finding it. So right from the very beginning, we see the Holy Spirit impacting and moving upon particular people at particular times for particular purposes. Moses, anointed with leadership to take the people out, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing a Red Sea, seeing the sea split in half and millions of people walking across. We see him like bread come from heaven and quail arrive every morning and stuff, and just water from a rock, because he's led and functioning under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We see other guys around Moses' time around the tabernacle, inspired in their natural talents and gifts of craftsmanship and skill, that under the anointing of the Spirit, they were able to exceed and excel in their gift. If you want to excel in the gift that you do, if you want to excel in your trade, get more of the Holy Spirit in your life. The creative power of the universe, the genius of the universe, I need more of that. If I want to be a better preacher, I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. Is anyone with me this morning? We could go through Samson. Yes, he stuffed up. Gideon was a pathetic weakling. Isn't that good news? Aren't you comforted by some of the losers in Scripture? Like, seriously. I just go, wow, God. If you can use someone like that, there's still hope for me. I mean, I haven't murdered anyone yet. I mean, I've lied a few times and stuff. I haven't deceived people like that Jacob bloke, seriously. So here we have these incredible stories where they are anointed by God's Spirit. Ezekiel says he was carried away by the Spirit. Elijah carried a portion of anointing on his life and performed a number of miracles. His successor, Elisha, then gets a double portion of that anointing and fulfills twice as many miracles as what Elijah did. We see the role and function of the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture. And then let's jump into the New Testament, because time is ticking away. But we see that the angel appears to Mary and says, you who are highly favored of the Lord, you're going to be the carrier of the Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. How's that going to happen? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive and bring forth new life and life for all humanity. And do you know what? The same still holds true for every person on the planet today. It requires the Spirit of God to come when we receive and give him permission to come into our lives. The Spirit of God comes and regenerates us and restores us into right relationship with God through what Jesus Christ. He appropriates that work that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. The Holy Spirit comes and appropriates that in our lives so that we can be in right standing with God. So we're suddenly forgiven and we can live in that. He comes and he robes us in a robe of righteousness. He washes us whiter than snow. So suddenly God doesn't see all the blemishes and the stains and the mistakes. He looks and we've been washed clean. He looks and he can see Jesus in Phil's heart. So he goes, Jesus is in Phil's heart, so Phil's okay with me. And the Holy Spirit does that. That's one of the rocks. Holy Spirit, first of all, draws us to Jesus. There's a precursor to what I've just said. The Holy Spirit's role is phenomenal. And so we see here that Mary gives birth to Jesus Christ, and we're told that Jesus starts his life. He started that supernaturally. And then we see Jesus later is baptized, and we see the triune God manifest in that moment of his baptism. The Father speaks, here is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus the Son is there being baptized, and we're told that the Holy Spirit appears as a dove and comes and lightens on his head. And then from there, he goes out into the wilderness to pray and to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And we're told that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's tempted in the wilderness, and he overcomes that through the power of the Spirit. Then he comes back and he starts his earthly ministry of 3 years, and we know the impact of that and his teachings. But Jesus, ever thought about it? Jesus was filled with the Spirit, Luke 4 says. Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. If Jesus needed to be full of the Holy Spirit, if Jesus needed to be filled and full of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? Come on, stop kidding yourself. This Christian life is hard. The times are not going to get easier for people who want to stand for righteousness, justice, and truth according to his word. It's not going to get easier, people. It's going to actually require great courage, great resilience, maybe persecuted in various ways at various times. And to try and do that in our own strength, to think, no, I can get through that. You're kidding yourself. Jesus needed to be filled with the Spirit. We too need to be filled. And we see Jesus, and then his death, burial, resurrection. And then he tells them that you need to wait in Jerusalem until you've received power from on high. So they go on 40th day, and then they go and they wait in Jerusalem in the upper room, and they're there. 120 of them are just waiting for 10 days. Awaiting. I wonder how many of us would be willing to wait for 10 days. I wonder how many of us are willing to wait for 10 minutes, 10 seconds. But they were told to actually wait. And then something phenomenal happens. You can read it for yourself in the book of Acts. Something phenomenal happens where God pours out his Spirit in an undeniable, unprecedented way. The day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit is poured out, and there's a mighty rushing wind, and the place began to shake. And then tongues of fire began to appear individually over each person. There was one tongue of fire for each person. Do you know what? God's got something unique and special just for you. When you desire to be filled with the Spirit, God goes, hey, and if you think, well, yeah, God is incredibly, he's unchanging. But the facets and dimension of who God is, we cannot fathom with our natural minds. He's an infinite God with just his beauty and his splendor and his creativity. I mean, we blow our minds. We can't contain that. He can't reveal himself to us because our physical bodies can't contain that. We'd literally just explode. It'd just be too much for us. And God says, hey, I've got a tongue of fire for each of you. You know, God's got something special and unique for each one of us if we're willing to open to receive from him. And suddenly they all began to speak in other tongues, in the Greek glossolalia, as in they began to speak in some recognizable languages and others not recognizable. We believe that there's a heavenly prayer language of speaking in tongues where the mind is unfruitful, but the Spirit is praying directly with the Spirit of God. We begin to speak in other tongues. And Peter is there. Great example. Why? Because this guy's pretty much 6 or 7 weeks before, that's this backslidden Christian who denies Christ. Suddenly this guy, after encountering and being filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up in front of a group of people and begins to preach a gospel message, and 3,000 people are saved that day. Think about the audience that he was speaking to. He would have been speaking to devout Jews. He would have been speaking to Pharisees. He would have been speaking to all sorts of peoples and cultures and people groups. And he stands up and he begins to speak with such authority and power. What had changed? What had actually happened in his life to take him from this to now standing with authority and preaching in that manner? He'd had an encounter with the Spirit of God. Encounter with the Spirit of God. Great thing is, he hadn't been to Jesus school. He hadn't been to seminary. He hadn't been to no Bible college. He didn't have a list of degrees behind his name. And all those things are good. But you know what can surpass all of those things? And it's not an excuse not to go and do those things. But what can surpass all of those things is just getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Because suddenly you start to kind of connect on a spiritual, supernatural level with God, and there's a greater freedom and flow of his revelation power coming into your life. So when you start to read the word of God, it's not just ink on a page, but suddenly there are supernatural words that are jumping out at you, and something begins to bubble away inside your spirit. Begin to read and go, man, I've never seen that before. Suddenly you start to go, wow, that's leading me to that verse. And oh, that's how it's connected to that verse. And suddenly this book comes alive because of the revelation power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some of you are looking at me like, are you serious? Hell yeah! This is my experience, and I desire to grow more in that experience, and I don't want to have a powerless church. I don't want to have people who are just comfortable getting by with just standing just on that. That's a dangerous thing to say. Chatting with Mick about this yesterday, and we often talk about our messages and stuff and just going out. Like, and Mick said something interesting. He goes, I wonder how many people in our church would be more than happy between now and when they die just to have that and not to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit again. How many people in our church would be happy with that? Go, mate, that's a great question. So blame him for that question, not me. You just go, yeah, well, I'm comfortable. Why? Because we can touch this. It's neat. It's ordered. Yes, and Corinthians tells us there should be order in our services. I'm not throwing all of that out. You see, if you have too much word, you dry up. If you have too much of the spirit stuff only, you'll blow up. But if you actually have word and spirit, you'll grow up. But some of us just want to stick to this. Why? Because it's neat and it's contained and I can get my head around that. I can fit that into my framework, a framework that I'm comfortable with. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to dare you this morning. The Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, when John the Baptist was asked, you know, hey, do you believe this is the Messiah? I baptize in water. But there's one that's coming whose sandals that I am not worthy to tie will not just baptize you, he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Fire. Holy Spirit is likened to water running. We're told that on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind. Okay, somebody explain to me, how do you control the wind? When there's a hurricane blowing, you become an incredibly wealthy person when you can like contain and control that hurricane. Or when there's a fire blazing, and it's like, you tell me, how do you control that? We can try to dampen it. We're good at that. Well, there's a river that's just running, raging out of control. How do you stop that? You can't. It's messy. Which way is the wind going to go? I don't know. Well, the Bureau of Meteorology said it'd be north-northwest, but I wake up this morning and it's northeast. They don't even know. They're the experts. Drive down to flipping Phillip Island for a surf saying it's going to switch to a northeast and it doesn't switch. Morons. I want it offshore. Get it right. You've got one job to do. How hard can it be to predict the weather, people? Seriously. No much better it'd be if it was offshore. It's 3 foot. Side shorts. Crap. No good. Where's the offshore? It's supposed to switch at 3:30. They get it wrong. But we want introduction, 3 points, conclusion. See, I told you I'd come back to this. So there is a point. We want it all neat and packaged nicely, but I'm telling you, sometimes the Holy Spirit, when he moves in our lives, it's not neat. It's a bit messy. I don't like messy. Then, how do I put it? If that's the case, more than likely you will live beneath the fullness of what God's got for you. Oh, yeah, but that's not my personality. That's a pathetic excuse. Seriously. Oh, it's just not me. You will live beneath the fullest of what God's got for your life. You're going to let your personality stand in the way of you having a fresh encounter with God? Wow. Please don't. And then we're faced with challenges or we're faced with a problem. I just don't know why. Put yourself aside. Put your pride aside. Put your fear aside. You know, 2 Timothy says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. Of what? Fear. But of love, power, sound mind. Why would the Bible remind us of that? Why would God want to emphasize he has not given us a spirit of fear? Why? Because there's so many presentations, whether it's of Christianity or faith, that shift people more to a fear base than a freedom space. You see, it's like, you know, more concerned about, is my salvation secure? And, or I've got to do this and I've got to strive, and worried about, am I going to spend eternity with God? So consumed by the question of will I, that they miss out on what God wants to do in the here and now, with should be having the assurance through what Christ did on the cross that my salvation is secure in him. But there's different teachings and different beliefs that stir more fear than actually try to lead people to freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God desires freedom for your life. Some of us are living contained lives And we think that I need to come to church and I need to actually present in such a way. Some of us just need to throw that off and actually just let our hair down if we've got hair. And just go, oh my God, I mean, I'm standing in worship this morning. I wanted to grab the microphone off Katie, but I thought that might be a bit rude. And just go, some of us just need a reminder of just how amazing our God is. I've got crap going on in my life. I've got stuff going on. I've got pressures like we all do. But I've got to come into the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I leak. I can be filled with the Spirit of God, but then I've got to deal with this, deal with that, and suddenly I feel depleted. I need to come back and I need to just be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I need His power. I need His strength. I need His refreshing. I need His peace in my life. Jesus, help me. I need His wisdom to be a dad. I need His wisdom to be a better husband. I need His wisdom to be a better pastor. I need His revelation power in my life because, yeah, that message that I preached 2 months ago was pretty good according to 15% of the church congregation. So that was great. But I want 16% of the church congregation to like, so I don't want to press into the Word of God. Not that I'm trying to get your satisfaction. Hear what I'm saying, right? You hear what I'm saying? We need more of God. Well, I've got no idea what my notes say now. This is so not it. Okay, I'm going to finish with this one. Ezekiel 36 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I love this. And I will put my spirit in you. So this is before this, the day of Pentecost had actually happened. How prophetic is this? Phenomenal. Put my spirit in you, not just on, but in you, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. How amazing is that? We could talk all about the heart, where it's the... Some would say that it's our heart is the place where we love, trust, and desire. And that can be used incorrectly. But when we fill our heart with the Spirit of God, His perfect love, somebody who can be trusted, and our desires are pleasing to Him, He grants us the desires of our heart. I'm jumping around because I just want to kind of make 2 points. They're not really points, but because I said I wasn't going to have points. Jude chapter 1 Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. Have a listen to this. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Have a listen to this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Listen to this. After starting in the Spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? After starting in the Spirit, are you now finishing in the flesh? I was really challenged, but I think there's great truth and challenge and power in those words. Why? Because if we were to sit down and have one-on-one conversation, I'm sure we would agree that the salvation experience of coming into a relationship with God, there's nothing that I can do. It's all God. It's all because of what Jesus Christ has done. So there's nothing that I can do that I can boast. Jesus Christ has done it all. And I have to receive that gift of grace by faith, receive that forgiveness, and then come into right standing with God. So that is a supernatural transaction. That's a supernatural, that's a spiritual thing that happens there. Do we agree? Don't put your hand up, but do you agree? Okay. So that's how our Christian walk starts. But somehow, we are quick to get into intellectualizing, theorizing, analyzing, naturalizing, physicalizing, all the isings, and shifting further and further away from not just how it started, but how God intended us to keep walking. Need called to be Spirit-led. Some of us, we are comfortable with the analytical side. We are more comfortable in that space and with the theorizing and wanting it all nice, neat, and structured, and we've got the Word. But that should never just be, it's Word and Spirit. It's both of them together that we need. I just want to go through, we could make a massive Bible study out of this, and each of these statements that I'm about to make are founded in a scripture, but we don't have time. So I'm just going to rapid fire, but I just want to talk about, close with who the Holy Spirit is and some of the things that He has done, wants to do, and desires to do in and through our lives. The Holy Spirit is phenomenal. The Holy Spirit wants to set us on fire. When you have an encounter with God, when you have that baptism in the Spirit and you know that you're a carrier of the presence of God, there should be something that stirs within us. There will be a physical manifestation of what happens spiritually, but there should be a psychological, there should be an attitudinal, there should be a speech, there should be a lifestyle change that reflects the encounter with the presence of God. I'm not into being a church that chases after the manifestations of the Spirit. I'm after chasing the manifestations of the Spirit that lead to life change, that lead to world change. I'm into you having an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, so that you have your mind blown and you cannot but help yourself go out there tomorrow when somebody asks you, hey, what did you do on the weekend? The first thing you say is like, dude, I went to church. It's gone very quiet in here. Like when you're baptized in fire, do you think for a minute you're going to sit back and just... Fire represents excitement and passion. Fire represents, you know, you've got a zeal about you. There's something that's burning, a fire burning in your guts. I just can't contain it. I don't know, have you met some Christians, do you think they could just be a little bit more excited about church? No, maybe you've met some of those Christians, not in our church, of course, but they could be just a little bit more excited about worship. Because worship's where I get to actually plug in, and where we begin to worship, that's the Spirit of God inhabits the praises of His people. So as we're worshiping this morning, I'm not just worshiping in the natural. I'm worshiping knowing and believing and by faith speaking out as we worship that whoever needs a miracle in this house this morning, the Spirit of God is here, you'll receive your healing. Something supernatural and miraculous is going to take place in this place. A little bit more fire. Living in the power of the Spirit is key to our Victorian Christian life. The Holy Spirit regenerates us when we are born again. He transforms us from one level to the next. There is a deep confidence. He gives us a deep confidence in our soul that we'll go to be with Jesus and have eternal life once we've accepted Him into our lives. He guides us through life if we stay open and listen and watch. He guides us into truth. What is the truth? Who is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to guide and lead us into this, the revelation of who God is, so that we actually begin to learn and understand who Jesus Christ is, so we're more and more transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. He counsels us about our lives, and He's like an inbuilt therapist to bring wisdom, peace, and calm. If you need wisdom, if you need peace, if you need calm in your life, if you've got darkness hanging over your life, maybe you need to get more filled with the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to come in with His light, which comes from the fire, because fire puts out and radiates light and warmth, and suddenly that cold, dark place gets transformed by the power of God. Somebody needs to get excited in this place. I'm going old school Pentecostal here this morning. I've been fired up this week because I just go, you know what, there needs to be more of a fire. I'm not talking about swinging from chandeliers and stuff. I'm talking about you having an encounter with Jesus so that we see souls saved and the kingdom of God extended. Help me, Jesus. He teaches us how to live, our own resident life coach, as it were. He washes us clean in times of worship and prayer. He sanctifies us, which means He makes us holy and acceptable to God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. He separates us from the spirit of this world so we can be in this world, but not of this world. And that's why when we're filled with the Spirit of God, sometimes, you know what, we should cringe when we hear a crude joke. We should kind of like get disgusted when we see pornography on the screen. We should get disturbed in our spirits when we hear about human trafficking or the environment being abused. There should be something within us because the Spirit of God desires us to bring things back to the way God intended it to be. And so when we see those things and somebody blasphemes, something in our spirit should check. The last time somebody used Jesus Christ as a swear word, did you just accept it? Or did something inside you just begin to grieve? He gives us wisdom, grace, and power, insight, like a prophet living within us. The Apostle Paul said, I desire that you all speak in tongues, but I desire that you all prophesy more. You know what? When you've got the Spirit of God in you, there should be a prophetic edge to what we do. And that's not just for the pastors, not just those that have been to Bible college. That's for all believers that are filled with the Spirit of God. You can say, stir. I lay hands on myself sometimes. I do this and I say, Father, I stir up the gift that you put within. I stir up that gift of prophecy within me this morning. I lay hands on my head and say, in Jesus' name, stir up that gift of prophecy so I can begin to speak into situations. Sit down and speak with people incredibly successful in business. And I go, why am I sitting here talking? What have I got to offer? I say, Holy Spirit, give me a word. Give me a word. And then suddenly as I'm speaking, I'm just going, where the heck did that come from? Too good to be me, so it's got to be him. And that's available to all of us 24/7. He energizes us like an energizer bunny. He's a battery supply power we need inside of us. He helps us to pray prayers that get answered. He helps us to understand the book he authored. You ever thought about that? The Holy Spirit came upon and anointed the prophets and the writers. He's the author. If you want to understand it, you speak to the author. What did you mean by that? Anyway. I really liked that one. I thought that was a good point. I like that point. Put my name next to that one. Get supernatural insights. If you don't get supernatural insight when you read the Bible and it's a bit dry, get the rivers of living water just begin to flow in your life, in your prayer time. Holy Spirit, help me to understand this stuff. I pray that regularly. When I go to read his word, I say, Holy Spirit, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so I need your help. Help me out here. You might be smart, but you're not that smart. We need the Holy Spirit's help. No offense to all the doctors in the house. He empowers us with boldness to face difficult situations that we couldn't face on our own. Draws us to God and come boldly before God. He intercedes for us like a lawyer presenting our case before God. He becomes the unity that keeps us together like a glue that bonds us together. He joins us together as the family of God. He gives us confidence that we are sons and daughters. He gives us that spirit of adoption to assure us that we've been accepted and part of God's family unconditionally, and we can cry out, Abba, Father. He comforts us when we're anxious or fearful. He gives us the knowing that everything will be all right. It may not work out the way we wanted it to, but in him, he works all things together for good. And he puts that peace that can't come from anywhere. And we just go, you know what? All hell's breaking loose, but I got Jesus in the boat. So this storm is going to finish and I'm going to get to the other side. I'm going to get to where Jesus wants me to be. That's for somebody in the house this morning. Brings things back to our remembrance, things that Jesus has taught us. He convicts us of things we need to get right if we're willing to listen, because he loves us enough to point out those things that aren't right. He sets us free from things that control us, and he's a habit breaker from life-controlling issues, and he conquers those life-controlling issues. He's a liberating force that sets us free. Come on. This is who the Holy Spirit is. This is what he wants to do in your life. This is who we've got access to, church. Come on, this is who you've got access to 24/7. It's not just for Pastor Phil. This is for all of us. You've got this liberating force at your disposal. He creates a song of praise within us. He gives us a new song to sing, exalting Jesus and proclaiming his purposes for our lives. He reveals Jesus to us and draws people to Christ. When filled with the Holy Spirit, we will connect with people. Will lead people and show people Jesus. He brings revelation about the future like someone who's already been there. How good's that? I love that one, because he's standing in my tomorrow. He's already been there. He knows what's going to happen. He's saying, Phil, come this way. No, son, don't go that way. That's going to end in chaos. Don't, mate, don't do it. Just come this way. This way here. He's already in the future. He's in your future. He's on the other side of your mountain. He's on the other side of your problem. And he's standing there. He's saying, hold on, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't look to the left or right, just keep your eyes fixed on me. I'll bring you through, because I'm already standing in the future calling you forward. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Stands in the future calling us forward in the boldest, safest way. He seals us, and in the Bible that means that he brands us, demonstrating that we belong to God. He reveals things that are hidden from our natural sight, brings them to revelation. He draws back the curtain so we can see clearly. He gives gifts of power into our lives so we can do what Jesus did and more. How the heck are we supposed to do what Jesus did and more? Doesn't matter how good you think you are, you can't do that in your own strength. We need the Spirit of God. When somebody's got a headache at work, When somebody starts to share their brokenness in their relationship, you've got the counselor, you've got the comforter, you've got the power, you've got all that God, all you need. Oh, yes, you do. Give some power to do what Jesus prophesied, heal the sick, speak mysteries to God, be edified, build up attributes developed in us and grow. Things like love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control, called the fruit of the spirits, begin to manifest in our life. And I'm nearly there, so hold on. Constantly at work, if allowed, making us more and more like Jesus. He empowers us to be effective witnesses as we reach out. There's a resident power that's within us, giving us the words to say, but you shall receive power from on high to be my witnesses. You know what? If you feel timid or you feel a bit shy, you're not sure what to say, that's because you're normal, because you're human. But with the Spirit of God in you, you become superhuman. You're not just natural, you become supernatural. And the step before that, if you kind of don't even think that the people around you need Jesus, you need an encounter with the Spirit of God. So our hearts would begin to break for what breaks His. Get a heart for the lost. I like what King James says, he quickens our mortal bodies. There's a few of us in the room that need that, especially anyone that gets hay fever and your sinuses are stuffed up. In other words, shouldn't sniff into the microphone, sorry. He energizes our physical bodies. Ew. See, sometimes the sicker I am, the more I just want to preach hard. Give the devil what for? Secret to energy to live life to the full. He came that you might have life and life to the full. How do you have life to the full on a planet like it is and the world the way it is? Yeah, we can have experiential stuff that lasts and it's momentary, but we're talking about life to the full, which is bigger than that. How do you do that? Living a life in the Spirit. That's what life to the full is. Brings the message of Jesus Christ to the world. The church is His temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He sends us, He builds His church and stirs us up to preach the gospel. He directs us where to go, what to say, and when we're not sure or we need direction. He's the essential key to speaking words of faith. The Holy Spirit is a river of life, bringing life wherever He goes. If you need life in your body, if you need life in your marriage, if you need life in your workspace, if you need life and you need friends, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life and to begin to flow in and through your life. Because when you're a carrier of the presence of God, there's something that's attractive about that. Nearly there. Famous last words by a preacher. He anoints us to speak words to the world, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, open deaf ears, freedom to the captives. He's the fulfillment of the promise from the Father to empower us with everything we need. He's the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. He wants to fill us with the same power that raised Jesus. We're going to be raised in that same power, and the church can't exist without the Holy Spirit. Here endeth the lesson. There you go. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues. You don't need to speak in tongues to be saved. That's all safe and secure in Jesus Christ. But we need the Holy Spirit to live full lives that God's intended us to actually reach the full potential of what God's got for us. And I know I'll have people in this room theologically that don't agree with me with that. And that's okay. Feel free to be wrong. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm only here today as your pastor because of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in my life. And if we're going to impact our community, we need more of the Holy Spirit, because what we've done so far has had a measure of success. But to truly impact this community, we need more. I need you to want more. God needs us to want more so He can do more. And so if you're sitting there just going, I've got enough, don't be so greedy. Don't be so selfish. There's a whole world out there, streets surrounding us, that are facing a Christless eternity. I mean, are you more concerned about what next house you're going to buy or getting the iPhone X than you are about actually having an encounter with the presence of God? I tell you what, I would throw all of this away. Technology, that is, not the Bible. If I had just another encounter with Jesus. Because each time I've had an encounter with Jesus, I've gone away changed and something has shifted in my life. Remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit? I was 11 years old. I was at a camp and they gave this opportunity for people to come forward and respond. And I'd grown up in a Christian home, so I'd seen all this stuff before. And I said, oh yeah, that looks cool. I think I might try some of that. So I went out the front and no one was near me. So I just closed my eyes and I just started to pray. I said, God, like if this is you, right, in an 11-year-old thinking, if this is you, then like I want some of that. And then this bubbling just started, this like a warmth, and something started to happen on the inside. No one was near me. And just suddenly, like just something started to well up within me, like almost like, wow, I've got to let this out. And I just began to just mumble a few words and just mutter a little bit. Again, no one had touched me or laid hands on me or anything like that, but just suddenly this kind of like bubbling, and it's like a dam was being starting to burst open within me, and I just began to speak in a heavenly prayer language, speak in tongues, just kurabata, siki, shatarabha, and just began to pray more and more and more and more and more and more. And it just began like just began to flow and started something just started to rise up within me, and just like it was not scary, it wasn't freaky, it was warm and it felt incredibly safe. And I just went, wow, this is incredible. That's why I'm passionate about kids ministry. That's why I'm passionate about youth ministry. You know what? In my teenage years, I walked away from my relationship with Jesus. But when I came back, and I thank God for his grace, I came back and I said, Lord, please, I want to return. I want that back. I don't believe it ever left me, but Father, I want to step back into that. I want the fullness of your spirit in my life. And I began to pray and then it started to flow in my life again. I said, oh, thank you so much, God. You're so gracious. I just began to pray in other tongues and began to speak in other tongues. And I just began to realize, you know, when I went out and played footy with my mates and went out and did this and that, I just sort of, the fire started to dwindle and started to go down. I needed to get back into church. I needed to get around a prayer meeting. You know what? I'm in a lot of meetings. Who loves meetings? Okay, thought so. No, there's governance meetings, there's board meetings, there's staff meetings, there's department leaders meetings, there's one-on-one meetings, there's pastoral meetings, there's all sorts of meetings. The most important meeting I could ever be in is the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting. We're talking about a spiritual journey, going into a prayer meeting, being at church. Having our family in the presence of God, where they get to encounter the presence of God. And I won't miss a Sunday. Like I said to you, when like we had young kids, Nat would bring the kids, and like it was just phenomenal what Nat would do, because I had to be there super early and get home last. But now we just made sure our kids were in the presence of God as much as we could. And just for me to be back in the presence of God, it's where we kind of get topped up. It's where we kind of like get recharged, refreshed, first day of the week to go into the week. Just go, I've got to be in the presence of God. Being in the most important meeting I can be in is the prayer meeting. We've got an all-church prayer meeting on Thursday night. You see, we see how popular church is by how many people turn up to a service. We find out how popular Jesus is by how many people go to a prayer meeting. Ouch. Still love you. I'm your pastor. I love you. But any opportunity, but why? We often start to think to ourselves, I'm too busy. It starts to slip down the list. Our pre-service prayer meeting should be bigger than what it is. We pray every Sunday, 9:30, here in preparation for our service. There's a prayer meeting Friday morning. Our life groups pray together. There's lots of opportunities to pray in the life of this church. But so often, myself included, suddenly I said, like, these things begin to slip down the priority list when they're actually the most important meetings that we can be in. I really need to close now. So to do that, I am done. I would love this morning just to pray for all the students that have exams coming up. Whether that's school, high school, university, if you've got exams coming up, some of you have finished already. Okay, we'll pray that, have you got your results yet? We'll pray that supernaturally the results would be better than... Okay, well, if you're in high school, you've got your exams coming up. So if we've got some... I was praying for you guys, actually. Don't say that to be nice. It was. Yeah, hopefully it is nice. So, do we have anyone that has exams coming up? Students? No students? They're at home studying? Or if you're not at high school, but you've got exams coming up, could I just ask you to stand, please? You want to stand on behalf of your kid that's got exams coming up? Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you that your spirit has been poured out, and that, Father, we can receive of you. And one of the things that we know the Holy Spirit does is gives us a sense of calm and peace when anxiety and stress comes. So first of all, Father, I just pray for each of the students that have exams coming up, that Heavenly Father, you would just minister your peace into their lives so that they could actually just study constructively, that you would highlight to them the things specifically that they need to study. Lord, I know that was my own personal experience, that when I prayed, you actually led me through my studies. I don't say that lightly. I want to honour you this morning, Father. I know that you will do that again. That, Father God, there's sometimes such a large volume of work, but Holy Spirit, you guide us which parts that we should focus on. So we thank you for that. And Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning also for the moment when they come to actually sit and write, or if they have to speak, that Father, you give them great clarity of mind, that you would just bring those things back to their remembrance that they have studied. Thank you, Lord God, that they would clearly understand the question that is being asked of them. Almost like that supernatural clarity of mind and thought, just to be able to see clearly exactly what the question is asking. Just pray you bring formulas back to mind. You would bring structure back to mind. You bring key characters and concepts and thoughts and theories and themes all back to their remembrance as they sit in exam conditions, we pray. I just thank you, Father. We pray all of this because, Lord, we desire that these people that have exams would know that you're with them, that you're for them, that you want to carry them through. That, Lord God, we desire all that because we want you glorified. We want you honoured. So, Father, this morning, I just pray you bless our students. Bless them, Father. Keep them well. Keep them healthy, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just want us all to stand. If you're standing already, stay standing. Just want to get everybody to stand. We're going to close this service, but we're going to close this service because I know you may need to go. But as I said to you, I'd love to give some of our leaders, including the youth team, just an opportunity to pray with you this morning. Maybe there was a time where you were really fervent and passionate, but that was yesterday. What about today? What about today? Could I ask that you put your pride aside, put yourself aside, and just come willing to surrender and open your heart afresh to the Spirit of God? That this would be a moment for certain people in this room where you draw a line in the sand to go, that's it, enough. I'm not going to settle for a powerless life. I want to step into God's powerful life that he's got for me. And I can only do that when I'm Spirit-led, when I'm filled with his Spirit. So Father, come and fill me afresh this morning. If you're comfortable in doing that this morning, why don't you just lift your hands towards heaven? I just want to pray for us as a church. We are the temple of his Spirit, individually but corporately. And there should be something different about us when we gather together. We should be a light to this city. There should be something different about us, and that difference should be his presence. Undeniable, indescribable presence of the Almighty God in our midst. If that's you this morning, where you just go, God, I want to be a part of that. Father, I receive of you this morning. Maybe you've never actually prayed before to be filled with the Spirit of God. All it takes is just a heart that's surrendered and saying, God, just come. I receive of you this morning. Just in your heart or mind right now, why don't you just say that? I receive of you afresh this morning. Holy Spirit, I receive whatever it is that you have for me this morning. Spirit of the living God, I ask that you just begin to blow through this place this morning. Mighty rushing wind, blow through this place. Set a fire in hearts this morning. Spirit of the living God, we need you. We're desperate for you. We cannot do this. I cannot, Father, I cannot do this. And I don't want to do this on my own. I need you, Holy Spirit. Third person of the Trinity. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come now, fill. Fill. Thirsty hearts. Dry hearts. Empty hearts. Fill right now, I pray in Jesus' name. From the front to the back, to the left to the right. May we not be limited by past experience. May we not just look back on the good old days, but God, you're wanting to do something new here this morning. You're wanting to shift us from where we are to where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, right now, we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in this place. Jesus, thank you. Pour out your Spirit immeasurably here this morning. Fill hearts in this place this morning. Are you hungry this morning, church? Are you desperate for more of Him? You're desperate to be walking in a supernatural experience and encounter relationship with God? Praise you, Jesus. No, I'm conscious of the clock, but I'm just going to, well, this service is now closed. If you need to go, God bless you. Thank you for being in church this morning.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.